Okay, all of you who have come out tonight, we are going to sing together. All of you. I want everybody, get a hymnal. You're in the choir, in the stands, out on the bleachers. Get a hymnal, borrow your neighbor's hymnal, find hymn number 88. Find hymn number 88. You may remain seated. We have so many here tonight, if you stood up, it would just, you wouldn't be able to get back down easily. So, evangelists never count. We just speak evangelistically. Yes. And so let's sing the first, second, and fourth. That's what Pam and I are used to singing. And that's in third verse. First, second, and fourth. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Hit it, Wes. All together now. Joy to the world,
the Lord has come. The earth receives her King. Let every heart prepare and sing. And heaven nature sing, and heaven nature sing. And let earth and heaven nature sing. Let me my song.
Y'all were so good tonight. Y'all were so good tonight. Just as good as more on Sunday morning. Okay.
Third time's a charm.
Third time's a charm, Wes. The third time they want an encore. They want something else. Let's see here. Let's see if we have a... Well, yeah, we got to pick one that's upbeat. Angels from the Realm of Glory, is that what you said? Well, let me look here. 95. I don't know. Let me see here. Let me get on the page with you. Angels. Oh, let's do 95. Angels We Have Heard on High. First, second, and fourth. First, second, and fourth. Let's everyone sing now. All of you up in the upper stands. Everybody sing tonight. And hit it, Wes. Oh, the radio. Here we go. Angels. How about that? Is it on?
Yep.
Okay. Did all of you, anyone, did all of you care or go caroling when you were children? Did you all go? Yeah. Yeah. I love that. We had a good time. Yeah.
Had an aunt that was a music teacher, elementary, and she'd get everybody up. We'd go out.
Yeah. I remember a little girl named Sharon that I liked to go caroling with.
No.
The youth director always walked with us. I never could figure that out. Huh? Oh,
had a collar on you?
Huh? Oh, he had a collar on us. We had a great time. Did that for, my goodness, probably 10, 15 years of my life. We did that with young people. Not a whole no. They'd probably shoot you today. Come. Get out of here. But people invite us in for hot chocolate and they do this and yeah, Thompson. When he led that, yeah, that was good. Yeah, we used to do that here. Oh, is that right? All right. Yeah. We did that, what year would that have been, circa 90? 88? Late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, yeah. They were, Thompson was a great music voice and just really added to our worship and all. And so I wanted to vote to hire him and hang him on. And to the deacon, they voted no. And little did I know where they were going, but they voted no. And that was their first movement. But we had a lot of fun with them, yeah. That was the early 90s.
In the neighborhood, just right across the street?
Well, it was planned. It was planned. I think we were afraid of being shut down or turned away, so we made sure we were not going to be turned away. get out of here! Yeah. Yes. Yep. And he was really good, and we had a good time singing. But now, when I was a child, I was talking about a young person, teenager. We just went, house to house, and I don't ever remember getting shot at. And but no, nobody had one of those. No, we just had the youth director. And my mother wanted me to learn to play that, and I was going to go do it. And my brother started kidding me. When I turned blind, I could stand on the corner, and I did it. I wasn't going to do it. I'm not even going to take lessons. Accordion. Yeah. And but my brother did. Mom thought it out, and I said, okay. And my told me, and then started kidding me. When I got blind, I could stand on the corner and sell pencils. And I said, I'm not going to learn to play that thing. Oh. Gospel of John, chapter 1. We got to start all over. No. No. Okay. No, I wouldn't either. Steve said, we got to at least finish it before we start all over. Oh. Who was I emailing? Was it John or Dan or David? Somebody, and we were talking about the rapture, and I said, well, I know it was Phyllis. And she was saying how things are going on in the Middle East. And I said, well, before the rapture, I kind of wanted to finish John and 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, okay. let's talk about prayer on this festive season that we're in. And we're very thankful for what God has done in regard to so many people. And we got to continue to be in prayer. And Tish, is it just still a matter of seeing what's happening? Okay. Talked to Nancy today, and her body's, as she has some really good days and some days that aren't so good. So we want to continue to pray for her. Let's see. Any other prayer? Vic and Cindy are doing okay. So they're doing good. Yes, ma'am. All right, and her name was Suzanne. Okay, well, we'll be in prayer for Suzanne and whatever God is doing in that respect. Steve, did you have your hand up? Okay. So.
I have a Thanksgiving today. My father's 84th.
Very good.
Well,
good. All right. So, did he enjoy today and everything? Good. Okay, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Wes's mom's looking forward to 84, right? Okay. And Tisha's looking forward to 84 someday. Jim's not here for me to pick on. pick on John. the Sunday morning, and even last night, I mentioned a lady, good friend of mine for many years, and been in the... And momentum of spiritual things, and she's right into what we believe and what Dan Hill teaches in California. Her name is Valerie Potter, and she had a major operation Saturday morning or Friday, and last night it took a bad turn, And she thought she was going to go home from the hospital Monday, and they just kept her. And so I was able to get a hold of Sister and some people, talked to Dan and Pat Noor very well. But I talked with our sister today, and Valerie is doing much better today, but had a very, very bad night last night. And they took out a lot of female, I guess, hysterectomy is the deal. And I told her, I said, well, Val, here's the deal. The sin nature runs through the body, and they took a lot of your body out, so that means you're less sinner. That means you're more spiritual than you were before. She says, well, I don't feel it right now. Well, but please be in prayer for the healing of Valerie and her husband Bill's a wonderful guy, and just be in prayer for him. I've known Val for a long time, dating back to the 80s, and so just be in prayer for them. Friend of Wes in California, in San Fernando, Gail, went home from the hospital, but still not doing real well. So we need to be in prayer for Gail. And people, we need to be in prayer for each other right here in our own assembly. Whatever God is doing with each other's lives. And just need to be in prayer for the assembly and what is happening. Talk with Jim a little bit about the finances and need to just give a report. And not sure what we'll be doing, but we just need to be in prayer for each other. But now let's go into our study in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. But we need to finish up what we left off last week in chapter 1. So let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting His Spirit, who is the teacher. Share something fun with you. I don't know if you've read when Pat was here a couple of Sundays ago, Pat Hill, and she left the Grace Ministries missions little brochure that I had wrote an article on Africa, if you got to read that. Well, Dan last night called, we were talking, and he said he just gotten all kinds of really good response. It wasn't a traditional kind of missionary letter and report, so he was, and some people, just because of that, they want to go whenever they can go. And And a couple of them said, I want to go when Herman goes so we can have fun and do those things. And that was very good, very good response. They're looking at the dates to Kenya, and we got to talk about it as a church. If it's okay, we do that again. Wonderful things happened before, so we'll just see. But right now, John, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are in the midst of studying so much in the upper room that Jesus Christ has to say to the disciples. And sometimes, Father, we get so involved in what Jesus Christ was teaching and saying that we miss out on the personal impact of those men who were sitting there listening and how these things come across to us 2,000 years later. We get a little glimpse of each of these men, some of these men that were there. We know that Judas left to betray him. But that leaves 11 of these other men with their own personality, their own spiritual status. And so, Father, pray that we can learn a little bit about them and a lot about ourselves in regard to our spiritual life, Father. To find out what we would have been like in that upper room. What would we have done and said? So, Father, pray your Spirit will open our eyes to some interesting things in regard to these men as well as to what Jesus Christ was teaching. In Christ's name, amen. Let me read to you. You stay with John 1, but in John 14, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough, if we can just see it. And we're looking at Philip as he represents a lot of people who really have to see the things. And people, this is what's so interesting about the disciples. They are getting ready to make a major change. They have been walking by sight. They know Christ. They've seen Jesus. They've witnessed the miracles. They've walked with him. And pretty soon he's going to be gone. And they're not going to be able to walk by sight. Philip represents those who have to walk by sight. Those who, if they just see. But you know, even that isn't really true, because a lot of people, even when they see, reject it. People saw a man dead for 3 days in a grave, and Jesus Christ brings him back, Lazarus. He's their friend. They know he's dead, and they still won't believe. So seeing doesn't mean anything. Still got to believe. But we're looking at this type of personality. And we went back to John chapter 1 in the calling of Philip. So let's just start reading. We left off at 45, but 46, excuse me. But let's just read in verse 43, John 1. The next day, he, Jesus Christ, purposed with a design to go forth into Galilee. That's north, the northern part of Israel. And he found Philip. And that word found, he seeks, and Christ seeks all of us. And Jesus said to him, Philip, now this is what's beautiful. Follow me. That's all he said. Follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, so they all knew each other. And Philip found Nathanael. Now, if we were studying the passage, which we've already done long ago, but it's very interesting. He was in the same city of Andrew and Peter, but he goes and finds Nathanael, his friend. And he said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. Romans chapter 1, Paul said the gospel is written by the prophets. Here, Philip. This is how well he knows Scripture. And all Christ said to him was, follow me. So here's a man that's going to have to see, but boy, what faith right here. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Philip knows Scripture. He puts Scripture next to this man, Jesus, and he believes that he is the promised Messiah. Then verse 46, Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Okay, we have a problem with who knows what about Scripture. Nathanael knows Scripture himself. He knows that Moses and the prophets wrote about the coming Messiah, but he knows that he's supposed to come out of Bethlehem. So he's got some people. It's just one of those things. People get this idea, boy, if I just knew enough doctrine, I can put it all together. People, you can use doctrine against doctrine. You can use this doctrine. Well, should I go here? Well, here's some doctrine that says yes, and here's some doctrine that says no, so you're right back. Got to walk by faith, the leading of the Spirit. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, since we're dealing with Christmas? Can anyone fitting Scripture come out of Nazareth? The problem is, they're both right. The prophets wrote that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem, and that he would come from Nazareth. Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. And came and resided in the city called Nazareth, that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene, coming from Egypt, coming from the Nazareth. So it comes from all these areas. Now, verse 46. This is what we want to look at. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Look what Philip says. Come and see. What I like here, this is where we left off. What I like here is, Philip doesn't argue the point. Philip doesn't say, okay, let's get your Scripture, my Scripture, and let's go through it and find out. Let me persuade you. He simply challenges Nathanael. Come and see for yourself. Philip places a great deal of stock on seeing. This is why he will have trouble seeing the spiritual when it comes to just living and walking by faith. Jesus Christ's conversation with Nathanael is interesting. Let's read just for fun tonight with the Christmas story and all. Let's just read 47 through 51. Jesus Christ's conversation with Nathanael. Now, Nathan was the one who said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip says, "Come and see for yourself." Jesus said to saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guilt." Now, what's interesting with Philip, follow me. That's it. Nathanael, it's going to take some conversation. It's going to take some more. There are people you're going to give the gospel to if you witness, and I hope you do. Right there. Yes, I believe that. They're going to be people. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Verse 48, Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Now, Nathanael's carrying on the conversation. He doesn't just say, "He's the Messiah." See, some people would have said, "I know right now he's the Messiah." Well, Nathanael, he's like Columbo. He wants to talk a little bit. Got to investigate this a little bit. So Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now, we could spend some time on the fig tree. What's a fig tree? Fig tree is whose tree? Man's. Works. Okay. So, and also we have the fact that Jesus Christ is God. So this is coming from his omniscience, of his deity. Remember, both are in one person. Deity and humanity. It's a mystery. Don't try to figure it out. Nathanael, verse 49, answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." Deity. "You are the King of Israel." Humanity. Jesus answered and said to him, Nathanael, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Cross, and we talked about how that all was in, when, where and when and how that took place. What we have in the upper room, even Nathan is not fully aware. Now, this is going to be a funny way to word it, but I hope it'll sink into your soul and cause you to have to think about it. That's why I want to word it this way. Nathan, all these men, they're not aware of what they know. And that's interesting. They know, but they're not even fully aware of what they know. Now, the next reference to Philip is in John 6. We don't need to turn there, but in John 6, well, turn to John 6, the feeding of the 5,000. And again, we learn about Philip, and we learn about ourselves. Some people, even as believers, refuse to see the spiritual. Just refuse to see it. And this is what's going to happen. See beyond the flesh. See beyond the physical. To see the spiritual warfare that's going on. People, there are so many people. In everything in life, they have to see in the world. In relationships of marriage and finance and do this and do that. They need the fleets. They need to be able to see things. And the people just, "I'll trust you," and walk by faith. This becomes really powerful to see beyond. But many people are like Philip. They look at a verse in the Bible, and all they see is the surface, and they're not able to see beyond that. Let's look in chapter 6 at verse 5 and 6, just quickly, learning about Philip. Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" Now, remember when we studied this is not about feeding the poor. These people are not poor. They're hungry. Be like going out somewhere and go out on a little trip, day trip, and nobody forgot to bring any food except me, and I got all my candy and chips, and I'll sell them at a good price. But no, but they there's no hamburger places, and there's no pizza delivery, and the Lord knows that. He knows they're hungry. So where are we going to feed them? Now, look what he says. And going out a multitude said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread that these may eat?" Now, what he's doing is this is setting Philip up. Philip should have just said, "You're God. You're God. However you want to do it. You want to perform a miracle? Fine. You want me to run down to 7-Eleven? Fine. But you're God." But this is verse 6. "And this he was saying to test him," test Philip, "for he himself knew what he was intending to do." So this is what he knew what he was going to do. So these people have been here for hours listening to the teaching of Jesus Christ. And as I said, this is not feeding the world. This is not feeding the poor. This is being thoughtful. People come over and they spend some time and you want to feed them. And this type of thing. I mentioned Sunday how Marilyn had more people at her class than we even do on Tuesday and Wednesday, and she's not even getting paid. But I think it was Sharon came up afterward and said, "Yeah, but she feeds them." So I think Sharon was hinting that I ought to feed y'all on Tuesday and Wednesday night, and we'll get more people. And but she does. They have a meal. In fact, I got in trouble because they usually would just sit in the living room area and just have the food laid out in the dining room area. And two of the older ladies, and I just said, "Why don't y'all just sit right here and eat?" And Marilyn comes in, "You just cause trouble wherever you go." But I thought they could sit at the table and eat rather than try to on their lap. And I thought it was a good idea, but I saw I was not into the way they usually do things there. Verse 7, well, this is what's happening. So these people been there a long time and no place to eat. So Jesus Christ offers Philip this opportunity to express some faith and insight as to what he sees about Jesus Christ. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. And he thought he had said quite a lot, and it was a lot. And he's just going to feed them bread and water, I guess. Just 200 denarii of bread. Not sufficient for them. For everyone to receive even just a little. Just a little. So Philip stays with the overt of Jesus Christ's question. This is about $40 of bread. And it's not sufficient to feed all of them. So again, he looks, he sees reality on earth. He does not see the spiritual reality, just the problem on earth. So where most people are. They see the problem on earth and they don't see who Jesus Christ is. They don't see who God is. Well, I can't do that because. No, that's not a good answer. We've got to see who he is in the spiritual realm and then be led of the Spirit in that respect. Now, and then another seeing passage. If you look at chapter 12 of John, let's go over to chapter 12. We're going to be doing a little work on the seeing, whether you can see with the physical eye or see with the eyes of faith. Chapter 12. We're going to read verse 20 of chapter 12 through 23. Now, there were certain Greeks among those who were going up to the worship at the feast. These are Gentiles who had converted over into the coming of the Messiah. These therefore came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee. Again, surmising that Philip is probably at least half Gentile, if not full Gentile, at least half Gentile. Can't prove that, but that's what most people who study make assumption. And began to ask him, Philip, the Greeks asked Philip, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." They respectful to Philip, and they wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew. Now, why did Philip do this? Why did he not just go straight to the Lord? Because the Lord came first for the Jew. The Jew first, Paul says, and then the Gentile. Philip knows that. So he doesn't know what to do about this. He doesn't know about the change in history. Christ came for the Jews. So he doesn't know what to do with these seeking Greeks. He knows, probably a question if I turn them away, because our message is for everyone, but I don't know what to do with this. So he went to his friend. So he went and told Andrew. So Andrew and Philip were probably close friends, which is fine. Going to have an assembly, got friends, that's all right. Andrew and Philip, together, and giving each other courage and each other the strength. No, you ask him. No, you ask him. No, you ask him. So they came and they told Jesus together. Philip wouldn't do it alone, and Andrew wouldn't do it alone. So they probably both standing there together, and one of them started. Yeah, there's 10 of them or whatever. And then they went through this with Jesus Christ. Verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The point that we're reading this is that these Greeks came and said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now, let's go to 14:8, our study. Chapter 14, verse 8. 14:8. Philip is honest. Philip is open. Peter opened his mouth a lot and stuck his foot in it. Philip is just being honest and expressing something in his soul that there's no fear with the Lord. There's no fear with the Lord. I'm so sorry that a long time in my ministry that I had put myself in such a position that I found out people were even afraid to ask me a question. And just shame on me, because that's so unfortunate. And I hope that you and everyone knows you can ask anything. I have no problem. I think Marilyn and I were talking about that. I have no problem saying, "I don't know." Now, there was a time when I had to know it all. And if I didn't know your answer, I would talk about verses and just until you forgot whatever your question was. But now I have no problem. I don't know. I'll try to go find out. And if I can, fine. But Philip felt very relaxed in saying this to Jesus Christ. And maybe there are a lot of pastors who put themselves in such a position, people are afraid to ask a question, and shame. That's such a shame. But Philip has no problem feeling to do this. He feels relaxed and exposing himself. And he was one of the first to be called by Jesus Christ. He enjoys the freedom of speaking with Jesus Christ. He knows him. Jesus has just said, "From now on you know him who have seen him and have seen him." Philip does not see God the Father. Therefore, he goes to his own place. This is why when Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees in chapter 6, "Work, you work for that which it gives the, do not work for it. Work for that which is eternal life." Well, they answered in the way that they knew. What is the work that we do for this eternal life? And Christ said, "Faith, believe in him whom God has sent." So Philip is answering where he is from. And it's what we would all do. I guess that may be one reason some people hate to give a question, because you're revealing something about yourself. But in life, you can't carry that fear around with you. And Philip certainly didn't. So Philip does not see God the Father. Just doesn't see him. Therefore, Philip said to him, he's not afraid of exposing himself, his own lacking. He is not arrogant. The problem with Philip is a problem with so many believers. Even in the studying and knowing of Scripture, they can only see the surface. The feeding of 5,000, Jesus Christ said, "Where can we buy food?" Philip was being tested in the spiritual realm. Here again is a test for Philip and the disciples to what? To see the spiritual. So when Jesus uses the words, "Now you know him and have seen him," Philip replies, "Lord." In other words, now acknowledging the deity of Jesus Christ. Very important that we understand he is God. He is God and he is man. He recognizes the deity of Jesus Christ. But people, like many, he doesn't grasp all that means. Philip is not aware of what he himself knows. Philip knows something, but he does not know what it is he really knows. And I want to keep wording that because I want you to think about it that way. He does not know what he knows. Now, this might bother some, but you would be surprised how many people do not really know what they know. For example, many people are indeed saved by grace, by faith in, alone in Christ alone, and yet doubt their own eternal security. And I think they're really saved, but they doubt their eternal security. They do not know what they know. They know they're saved, but they don't know what that means. And so they add to this thing, eternal life. Okay. Lord, deity, show us the Father, deity. So he's really saying, deity, show us deity. And that ought to have been his clue. If I'm looking at Jesus Christ and I'm seeing deity, then I'm seeing deity. If he is God, then I'm seeing God. Deity, show us deity. Lord, show us the Father. Now, I do like the part, and that's enough for us. Don't need any more proof. Christ picked a weird bunch of guys to be around him. I think you all know about Thomas, the resurrection. Well, let me just touch your hand, and then that's good enough for me. If I can touch your hand. They all had their own ways. And people, we have fun with this, but don't ever judge him. We all have our peculiarities. I don't know how what I'd have been like. They're in that upper room. I don't think you do. I know what I'd like to think I'd have been like, but there have been a lot of problems. I know one place that I probably would have really been out of line with the Lord, and that's when the rich young ruler came to him and says, "What must I do to enter the kingdom?" And Jesus Christ said, "Keep the whole law." I really don't know if I could have kept my quiet over there. I think I'd have to come up and tug on his robe. Come over here a minute. Come over here. What do you mean, keep the law? What do you mean? That's not what you taught us. What are you doing? And he said, "Shut up, Herman. I'm doing something over here." And I probably would have shut up, too. At least I hope I would have. But so he says, "Show us." Okay. The kind of seeing that Jesus Christ has in mind is the same thing Jesus Christ had in mind when he asked Philip, Where are we going to get bread? He's the bread of life. Where are we going to get bread? It's the same type of sin. Jesus Christ wanted Philip to see the spiritual realm, to see who he is. He is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Where are we going to get the bread? You're the bread of life. But Philip can only see in the physical realm. So this is the same thing that Jesus Christ asking then. Now, Philip fails again here. The kind of seeing that Philip is asking for is not the kind of seeing Jesus Christ is giving. That's very important. Sometimes we have our own way we want to see things. No, God has a way he wants us to trust him. So, physically seeing Jesus Christ will become a handicap to Philip. Let me repeat that. Physically seeing Jesus Christ, or seeing Jesus Christ physically, will become a handicap to Philip and the disciples. The kind of seeing. See, you and I don't have that problem, do we? Because we're not confused by seeing him physically. You and I see him spiritually. You and I see him as per who he is by what he's represented in Scripture. But I'll guarantee you, if we could actually have seen his face and his eyes and his ears and his cheek and his mouth and his body, we would have that confusion. But we don't have it because we haven't had him that way. The kind of seeing that Philip is asking for is not the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. People, the Pharisees know Jesus Christ like Philip does in that respect, born of Mary and Joseph, and they say so. This is just this man born of Mary and Joseph. We know who that is. Jesus Christ is asking Philip to see beyond that. So many think that if they could just see and hear, it would make all the difference. No, it wouldn't, people. I'm sorry. We'd like to think it would, but it wouldn't. You'd be surprised how many believers have their own handicaps. Each of us have our own handicap sometime in seeing the plan of God for our lives, because Satan is in there to confuse us. The sin nature, the flesh nature with all of its desires is in there to confuse us. And the world, those around us, family, friends, people, they're there to confuse us. And we got all of this smoke around us of seeing the plan of God for our lives. And that's why we have to just walk by faith and not by sight with all these things that are there to confuse us. Sure. Yes.
I think maybe that's why the Lord answered Philip in verse 43. He said, "Follow me."
Yes.
Did he say, "Trust me"?
He just said, "Follow me."
He said, "Follow me."
And that way you could see. Yeah, he could see. Very good. And he knew where to go. Yeah.
Well, at least the Lord was answering Philip from the standpoint of the way Philip was coming.
Yes. Yep. He answered him. Yeah.
But down here in...
Now you're in chapter 1.
Yeah,
okay, go ahead.
In verse, in verse 50, where Jesus said, "Because I see it," talking about Nathanael.
Yes.
He said, "Believe us, me. Believe that."
Yeah.
Believe me. So, if perhaps Nathanael was trusting at that time.
Absolutely. Yes. He said, "If I just said that, you believe me." So you're right. He was already walking in faith.
But it looked like the Lord was thinking, "Well, Philip, you know, you're not going to see the spiritual point. Just come on and follow
me. Just come on and follow me, and you'll eventually will."
I know you're not.
Yeah. Just follow me. You'll get with it. Yeah, when I send my spirit. Good. Okay, so Philip says, "Show us." The aorist active imperative of the Greek word means to point out or cause to see. It really means, this word means to exhibit. To exhibit. Jesus, let us see him. Exhibit him. That will be enough. Now, what does that phrase, "that will be enough," mean? Philip is not unlike many believers. If I could just see what God is doing, if I could just talk with God, then I would understand it. I know myself, many times, I just wish God would call on the phone and say, "Do this." Good, I'll do it. Just point it out what you want. People, that's why we call it walking by faith. That's why it's walking by faith. He's not going to call. He's not going to send you an email. He's not going to do these things. Trust him. He will lead you from within. That's why divine guidance by the Holy Spirit is so important. That's why the battle is a battle of faith. When a believer lives by faith, watch this now. Philip says, "If I can see, that's enough." The believer who walks by faith, faith is enough. I trust him. And we walk and we live and make our decisions by faith. Faith is enough. And so this becomes a great battle. It's a very important study now. Seeing is enough? No. Is faith enough? It's just trusting him enough. Faith is difficult for those like Philip. If he is, like John pointed out, probably to Nathanael, faith is not difficult. But to some like Philip who like to see, it's more difficult. That's why we used to, when we talk about the gospel, we'll take two people, 35, or we'll take one person 35 and one person 5. To a 35-year-old, he's got so much stuff to work through to believe in the gospel. 5-year-old doesn't. So the 35-year-old works through all of the stuff, all the philosophy and all the ideology and all of the science things, and he says, "I believe." The 5-year-old says, "I believe." They're both saved. That 35-year-old is not more saved or anything. They're both saved by simple faith. It's just, it's more difficult. And it's more difficult for a person who has to see. Faith is difficult for people like Philip. If he is a Jew or part Jew, he probably is from the tribe, and this is speculation to make a point, he's probably from the tribe of Zebulun. And the tribe of Zebulun, it was a tribal trait of the tribe of Zebulun. They were commerce, entrepreneurs. You see the product, you see the profit, you see the loss, you see these things. It's how you live. You live by the books. They live by how much is going out and how much income is coming in. That's a trait of the tribe of Zebulun. Very commerce. So, that is enough. In other words, what he's saying is this. the proof is seeing. And that's not true. Because a lot of times you can see, and what you're seeing is not the truth. If I could just see it, that's enough. So here, if we just see God the Father, that will be enough. But to see with the eyes of faith, that's going to be the difficult part for Philip, to be able to see the Father in this respect. People, who Jesus Christ is, the Savior, the Son of God, the God-man, dying on a cross, bearing the sins of the world on a cross, buried, rising from the grave. You and I cannot prove any of these things. We can't prove any of them. And I'm thankful. I'm glad they don't know where the grave is. I'm thankful they don't know where the hill of the cross, where he was crucified, is. They speculate here and there. I'm just thankful we don't know. Because there'd be cornballs like me who'd want to go see it. I love to go to battlefields and see burial sites where Napoleon was buried and Grant and all Washington and on and on and on. And I'd be there. I'm glad we don't know. We have to trust him. Believe it. He died on a cross, bearing our sins. He came as the God-man, died on a cross, rose again. It's all by faith. And that's how you and I are going to see it. That's how it's going to become a reality to us. Okay, the context. Let's stay with the context because it's important. A great deal of false doctrine comes from taking passages out of context. Jesus Christ must depart to go to the Father. He knows that the disciples are in despair. Jesus Christ is leaving to go to God the Father. Therefore, God the Father would seem so far from them. In fact, Jesus Christ and God the Father would seem so far. He's going to leave here, go to the Father. He and the Father, they're a long way away, both of them now, and we cannot see him. So Jesus Christ, in loving them, gives them comfort in their knowing the Father. You know him and have seen him. So Philip sets his mind to thinking. You've known him, you know him, and have seen him. Well, now, wait a minute. When have I seen him? I haven't seen God, the Father. I haven't seen him. So Philip's thinking. That's what Philip is doing right here. He's thinking really hard on this. And if he could see him, it would give him comfort. So Jesus Christ now opens his eyes. Question, what gives you comfort? See, to Philip, he thinks it would have given him comfort if he could just see him. If I could see the Father, I got it. Who else has to see the Father? Moses. Very important passage in Exodus. He wanted to see God. And there's a great story when Moses got into the cleft of the rock, that's Jesus Christ, and the back part of God moved by. So it's all arranged in the spiritual realm. And so here we have it with that. So we have to find out what gives you comfort? Seeing with the eyes of the flesh or seeing with the eyes of faith? The flesh nature, people, let's all be honest, the flesh nature always would rather just see it with the flesh. I'd rather hear his voice. God, Herman, this is God. This is what I want you to do. Bye. That's beautiful. But you have a comfort in the leading of the Spirit. And very few do. That's the battle. That's why Paul says, this is the battle. To walk by faith and not by sight. We want to walk by sight. We're limited to the earth. We understand the things of the earth. And walking by sight makes sense. Walking by faith, what have we seen so many times? It goes against our entire flesh nature to walk by faith. It goes against everything about our flesh nature to just trust him. Our flesh nature, in one respect, wants to work for him, but in this respect, our flesh nature needs to see some verification. And many Christians today still put out the fleets. Well, if it rains, that means God didn't want me to do it. Well, if this happens, that means God wanted that. Well, everything went well, so I guess it was of God, and the marriage turns out to be a disaster. Well, I guess if it was of God, this would happen, and it didn't happen, so that. It just is amazing, the fleets that Christians put out there that will verify the plan of God. Does faith give you comfort? And this is where we want to get to in our Christian life. We want to get to the point where faith gives us comfort. Now, some might be in a judgment of Philip for such a request, but remember, Philip knows Scripture. Remember that? Philip knows doctrine. We saw this in chapter 1 when he first met Jesus Christ. Philip knows doctrine. Philip is most familiar with accounts of Moses and the writing of Moses. He knows Exodus 33 where Moses asked to see God. He knows Moses asked to see God. And interesting enough, it was also in the context of despair for Moses, as it is for Philip right now, with Jesus Christ going to leave and despair, what's going to happen to me? Moses was in this thing of God leading the people, leading him and the people. Philip's in the same despair, we're being led. You're going to have to do it by faith, Moses and now Philip. You're going to have to do it by faith. Okay, the knowing God, relationship between God and Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 7. From now on you know him and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. If we could just see God the Father, then our souls would be encouraged. Isaiah recorded that he saw the throne of God in Isaiah 6. Moses asked to see God. Philip and the disciples, believing that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah. But Philip did not know what he really knew about knowing that much. He did not know that he was looking at God himself. This is important, people. He did not know he was looking at God himself. And you know there are many people today who do not know when they comprehend Jesus Christ, they're comprehending God. When they comprehend the love of Christ, they're comprehending the love of God. It's very important. When you see the love of Christ, if you grasp the love of Christ, you're grasping the love of God. This is so powerful and so important. So, they're not unable right now to see. They're unable to comprehend all that they really see about God. But, very shortly, it's coming up in our study, they're going to be given the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit's given, their eyes are going to be open, and they're going to start seeing. They're going to start putting a lot of things together. This is Jesus Christ. This is God. This is what the whole thing is about. They're going to start seeing it once they're filled with the Spirit. Once they're filled with the Spirit. Look at, just came to my mind, look at 1 John. I don't have it in my notes, but let's see. Something about 1 John chapter 1. Let's see if we can put it in perspective of what we're looking at here. 1 John chapter 1. This is good in this respect. I hadn't noticed this before. Let's see what we have. 1 John chapter 1. First John 1, 1. What was from the beginning? That's the beginning of the church, beginning of Jesus Christ becoming man. What we have heard. Okay, there's your ears. What we have seen with our own eyes. What we beheld with and our hands handled. Concerning the word of life, Jesus Christ. Now see, before John wouldn't have been able to do this, but now he's able to know what he was. He saw and heard. And the life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And that is in the Son. This is powerful. He's now able to grasp what he himself saw. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So, let's turn back now. So, what John is saying is what we're studying right now. I saw it, but I didn't know what I saw then. But now I'm able to convey to you what all the things that I have seen. So, verse 9, Jesus Christ responds on how to properly see God. Let's read it, and then we'll pick it up here. Now, we won't... we'll have class next week, because Christmas is Tuesday. So, the next day after Christmas, we will fellowship together. Jesus said to him in verse 9, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? See, Philip, open your eyes. Let me tell you, Philip, what you know. You don't know what you know, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus Christ is deity. How do you say, show us the Father? So we'll resume here next Wednesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what we've seen here is the love, the compassion, the patience of Jesus Christ with these men, and therefore with us. For Heavenly Father, at various ways, various times, none of us are unlike these disciples. And yet you treat us in grace and mercy and patience and love. You deal gently with us. You take us, as it were, and the battle being, will we walk by faith as mere man? And we reach that point where we just trust you. And that we see nearly everything that happens in the spiritual realm. What's going on in the world? What's going on in the Middle East? What's going on in our own lives, in our marriages, in our homes? See it from the spiritual. We praise you, Father, for the God you are, as revealed in your text. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.